This is RV on Business.
Welcome back to 101.9 Chai FM. It is unusual these days that the power goes off. That's exactly what happened. We lost power and now we are back on air. But before we go back to what I was going to tell you, let me just let you know that the Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics for Adults offers convenient and professional help to help you manage your health risks. Whether you are having your regular health wellness checks, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics offer you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screening with pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Dis-Chem Wellness Clinics inside your closest Dis-Chem pharmacy. And if you're looking to reach an engaged, loyal audience, there's no better place than to do it right here on Chai FM. Our listeners turn to us every day for music, conversation, and news that they can trust. When you advertise on Chai FM, you're not just buying airtime, you're becoming part of a community that genuinely listens. Whether you're a small business or an established brand, we'd love to have a conversation about how we can work together. So you can WhatsApp us on 061-895-1019, or you can email us at info@chaifm.com. And lastly, stay connected with everything on Chai FM across all your favorite social media platforms. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at 101.9 Chai FM. From the latest news and community updates to competitions, behind-the-scenes events and content, and everything in between, there's always so much for you to be engaged with. Hit follow, turn on your notifications, and never miss a moment with Chai FM. Right, coming back to what I was saying to before, and I hope you can hear me clearly. I'm actually trying to talk directly into the headphones because it is 5 o'clock in the morning over here in New York, where I am at the moment, and there are people sleeping just down the corridor. So the concept is that in Israel, you have many rural areas, many yeshuvim, many moshavim, that do not have their own store. So you find a place that's already isolated because it's far off the beaten track. There are many people living there, maybe 100 plus families. It's got a school, primary school, it's got a high school, or it maybe shares a school with a neighboring yeshuv, but it doesn't have a store. So every time you need to get eggs, flour, Shabbat candles, a challah that you forgot about, you know, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, all of a sudden there's a bit of a panic, because if it's not in your freezer, if it's not in your storage room, you're just not going to get it if your neighbor doesn't have it. And the idea is that if you get these places where they are isolated and you establish these, what we call a makolet, a little shop, what those of us who are a little bit older would remember a cafe, what is now part and parcel of a petrol station, a shop that you can zip into anytime and get something. They don't exist. And the reason is that they're just not viable. The prices that they would have to charge in order to be economically viable just makes it unsustainable for the residents and unsustainable for the entrepreneur. And these guys came up with an idea that who says that the store needs to be a once-off? Who says the store needs to be manned? Who says that you can't have collective buying? So what these guys have done is they've created these very attractive shipping containers. They've taken shipping containers and they've renovated them. You walk into a beautiful little outside porch area. You scan a QR code. You have to register with them in order to become a member. And what happens is this sliding door opens, this glass sliding door, and you walk into a beautifully appointed little mini store with air conditioning, beautifully stocked, fridges, freezers, fresh produce. We were there on a Friday, as I mentioned earlier. There was chalot, there was kitka for Shabbos lying in a box on the side, and you can get everything you need. And I knew I was going to speak about it on radio, so I took a little bit of time just to walk around, and I think the first area that caught my attention was the toiletry section, because I know sometimes you're out. I know I spend a lot of time in the Mpumalanga area, and sometimes you just need a Panado, or you need toothpaste, or you just need something that just for whatever reason you didn't get a hygiene product. And I looked around and they were really well stocked in that area. And then I turned to the fresh produce, and there were things like bananas, apples, perishables that go off very, very quickly, not just your oranges and granadilla, stuff that could sit on the shelf for a lot longer. And everything just seemed fresh, and everything just seemed like it had recently been packed. And then I noticed that the air conditioning was at a beautiful temperature. The place was spotlessly clean. And the lady who went in before us, who actually let us in, was very comfortable, you know, picking up. She knew exactly what there was, and she paid and she left. And I then turned around and I was going looking at the fridge, and I was just thinking, like, if I was a mom or a parent in a very isolated place and I needed to, you know, I wasn't home and my kid said to me, "Mom, what can I have for lunch?" Or "Dad," they would never say "Mom," hopefully, "what can I have for lunch?" And I'd say, "Well, go down to the store and get a frozen pizza, get burekas, get a pack of burgers, get something like that that you'd get in a normal store." And the idea is very, very simple, complicated in its execution, but the idea is simple. If you can get enough border towns to agree to put these mobile, or they call them shop in a box, in their establishments, you can then have a central buying point and a central logistics point for all of them. So if you, in your mind's eye, can think of the Gaza border, and going further down, there are quite a few yeshivim that do not have this store at all. And all of a sudden, you've got this store in a box popping up, but they've got one central logistics place. So they've got that on the Gaza border. But where I saw this was actually in central Israel, not far from a very, very big store, the equivalent of a Pick and Pay, and maybe a 5-minute drive to that, but something that you might not want to go to if you just need one particular item, or you're not looking to do a big store shop and you don't want to stand in line. If they can buy centrally, say, for example, non-perishables, if they can buy them centrally, they can bring the price down. If they can buy fruit and vegetables again centrally, maybe not as in greater bulk, because they need to distribute it in different geographical areas, that price comes down. And their point is very simple. If they can supply stuff to the people in the areas that need it at prices that are fair and reasonable, and they do not have to travel, all of a sudden they've got an amazing business model. The shop is unmanned. There's no one in the store. So being South African, my first concern was when I said to him, "What do you do about shrinkage, pilferage?" He looked at me and he said to me, "Human nature is such that these things are going to happen. We've done everything to mitigate it." He says, "But firstly, who is our target market? Target market are people living a pioneering life, people living a life of frontiersmen. They don't steal from each other, so to speak. It's just not the way it works. They're used to living in a society that is open, that is transparent, that is safe within your community. And you would not go into a store and just steal. It's just not the mindset. It's not the way things work." So second of all, everything's in place. The cameras all over the show. The person who's in the store is scanned in. The person is paying, they know exactly who that person is that's paying prior to them paying. Again, face camera recognition, that also knows in the store. They've got a whole way of sorting it out. So the practicality of being able to take something without paying for it is almost zero. And I just stood in the store with a sense of absolute amazement, because it's a business model that I really hope for these guys works, And not only does it work for them in the particular areas that they're dealing with, but it's something that can become more widespread around the country just to create a convenient shopping experience for everybody who needs it. But this idea can sort of maybe catch on in other places. When I was in South Africa recently, I heard a rumor that garages, petrol stations are going to be closing at night. I was very, very sad to hear that. I haven't investigated it. I don't know whether that is just an urban legend, a rumor, a lot of nonsense, or there's truth behind it. But if that's the case, it is indicative of a society that's not really functioning as well as it should. Because petrol stations around the world are that place that you can fill up petrol late on your way home, early on your way out, whether to work or on holiday, for example. How many of us leave early to get to the Kruger Park, for example? It's just part of our culture. And not to have a petrol station that's open is really, really an inconvenience. Not to have the store that it's attached to it is also a huge inconvenience. And I just think this concept would be something really, really special. I'd like your thoughts. If you could send me an email, send me a WhatsApp. What do you think about this concept working in South Africa? Now, let me qualify that. I really don't mean that we, you know, go to some corner that's not occupied and put up a store in the middle of. I'm talking about our more established rural communities where the stores like this might have a place. The reason, again, the prices are able to be kept within acceptable limits is that they don't pay someone to stand there to receive your cash. I know recently I've walked into some of these small settlements, some of these even bigger towns, and there's a teenager sitting behind the till scrolling on his or her phone, bored out of their mind because it's, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning and no one's really coming in to buy anything at that time, but they need to have someone as a cashier. So that's just the idea, you know, whether something like this would take off, so whether something like this would have its place. But unfortunately, you know, it really relies on the understanding that you're going into a place that the primary mindset is that it's going to be safe and that people are going to respect and honor the entrepreneurship that has gone into the model. And that only with mutual respect will this model continue to run. And, you know, excuse the expression, you know, you don't urinate in your drinking water. You know, I think in Israel, people understand that if they allow this model to fail, they're doing themselves a disservice. You know, maybe there is a place in certain areas for a place like this, you know, maybe to start off in gated communities, you know, in South Africa, it's obviously your higher LSM, where there's just this convenience of being able to go into a store at any time, you know, just get whatever you need and leave. And this model could be recreated elsewhere. So if there is an entrepreneur out there who likes this idea, who's thinking about this idea, who feels that this is something that they might want to, you know, emulate, please be in touch with me and I'll put you in touch with the two guys that have started this. I really wanted to have them on this week, but they just felt that they haven't rolled it out to an extent that it is really a self-sustaining model, and they wanted to be there before it got any further, before they came on air, because they really wanted to be able to give us the stats of the research that they've done based on empirical evidence. So I respected that, even though I thought it would be really exciting for them to come on. I just wanted to share that with you and just impart that idea that entrepreneurship around the world is always alive and buzzing, and there's always somebody coming up with an idea. And there's such a move towards tech and IT and AI and everything that's happening in that space. And sometimes we forget that the day-to-day practicalities are still there. Your Costco's and your Walmart's and your ShopRite's and your Pick and Pay's and your Discount's, Those are still major, major businesses growing and developing. Even though, being in the UK over the past weekend, I went through one of the major malls over there, Brent Cross, and I didn't feel it because I wasn't used to shopping there. I don't know the place. I go there very infrequently, but my wife said to me that, oh, Fenwick's has closed down. I'm honest with you, I've seen it. I don't really have a nostalgic feeling towards Fenwick's because it wasn't, I don't know, John Orr's to me when I grew up, so to speak. But she says that's very sad. And then just being in London on the weekend, the amount of Amazon parcels that came through the post box was absolutely scary. And it's really developed into society where you're sitting at your desk and you realize that you haven't got paper clips and you just order paper clips. And then you go upstairs and you realize that you no longer like this flavor of toothpaste and just order another tube of toothpaste. So that idea of going to the high street, which is also becoming an endangered species, or going to the shops to get what you need, is becoming more and more rare, simply because you don't need to do that. It's easier to stay at home and get everything delivered to you. They also have a challenge there in London is that congestion is just off the flipping charts. Sorry to be so graphic. But in South Africa, you go to the store, you park your car, some guy harasses you. And, depending on how you're feeling or whether you have change in your pocket, you support the car guard or you choose not to. Over there, going out to the store is automatically a £10 story just for parking, whether you find the item you're looking for or not. But it's a good vitality model because getting parking is a mission and you're going to have to walk one way or another. But that was just my business experience with this shop in a box idea and my observation about malls in London over the last weekend. What I am going to discuss next week coming up is property portfolios, REITs. Those are portfolios where you buy into managers that are invested in commercial and industrial property. I've got a lot of questions around them because they were really hammered since Corona for a long time. They've now really rebounded off a very low base. The question is it sustainable? The commercial, I understand. The retail, I question. But that's what we're going to be doing next week. Craig, thank you so much, as always, for pushing the buttons. Everybody, thank you for listening. We will chat to you next week.